Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lang. That was really smooth, Bob.
Very smooth. Yeah, you've had a little taster there of Bobby on the street. But more on that later. So, babes, we've got to catch up. I ain't seen you for, well, you've been in New York.
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. New York, yeah. God.
How was it?
I feel like I've just come back down to earth. I mean, my jet lag's just sort of back, you know, I'm back in a normal sleeping pattern. Amazing.
It hits you harder on the way back, I think, didn't it, the old jet lag?
Well, especially because I went straight to work. So it was 9:30 p.m. flight from New York, landed at 9:30 UK time in the morning, then was at work by 1.
The straight in.
And I had about, I reckon about an hour and a half sleep max on the plane.
Oh, so you didn't get much much zeds in?
No. So the whole day I was like...
I think that's the key to jet lag, couldn't you? You've got to kind of fight the time.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, though.
Definitely. But New York on the whole was amazing. I had 2 friends turn up as a surprise, which was really nice. And I did all the sights and I did loads of... I did 40,000 steps in 1 day, Bob.
Did you? Yeah. Check you out.
I know. It's like a solid like 9 hours of walking. Yeah, and just... I mean, the weather was amazing. Got too drunk, was a bit silly. You know, all those normal things you do when you're away.
Got a bit done, and how was the cat? Because you was cat sitting, weren't you?
No, I was house sitting.
Oh, house sitting.
So no cat, but I did have to water the plants. That was the only requirement.
That's not a bad compromise for a little holiday.
Yeah. How about you? I saw you were out this week with Lewis Capaldi.
Yeah. So wasn't out together, by the way.
So hot new couple.
Yeah. Exclusive. No. So I'd been to an event that evening, a really lovely event, and I'd then gone for a bite to eat at a really cute little pub after. And walked past him, and me and Lou just bumped into each other.
Lovely.
As you do. But we'd have a nice little selfie. And very
nice guy.
Really nice guy. Really lovely evening. And loving today's weather, by the way. I feel like we've had a lot of rain this week, especially in Essex.
Yeah,
it's been terrible.
Nice to feel like it's summer again.
So I've come into town and I'm very happy for the sun. But weather aside, because as you know, guys, Access isn't a weather station. But as always, you know what kind of station we are. We're always jam-packed and this evening is no different. So, of course, we'll be bringing the showbiz gossip because let's have it right. That's what we do
we
best,
like
isn't it, Mr. Steve? Absolutely we do. Plus, we're going to be speaking to Below Deck Sailing Yacht Daisy, and we've got Robbie from Made in Chelsea.
Stunning.
So we're in for a good episode, as always, my love. But Stephen, you're back with a bang. You're over the jet lag. Yep. Let's talk showbiz stories.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's caught your eyes?
Well, Strictly Come Dancing is back.
Yes.
We talk about it all the time, don't we? And we often have the dancers and stuff on, but we've got a almost a full lineup now. I saw today they announced Bobby Brazier.
Yeah.
From EastEnders, and obviously the late Jay Goody's son and Jeff Brazier. And then in addition, we've got Angela Rippon, who's like the oldest contestant ever. Amanda Abingdon, famous actress Zara McDermott from Love Island. Leighton Williams, sensational actor Andrew Scanlon. On and on and on. Adam Thomas, you know, it's pretty solid lineup, I'd say.
Because Strictly, I mean, I think they do this every year, but they've been teasing a couple of days, haven't they? And before I'd seen today's release, I was looking in the DMs, you know, and you've got like the people you follow, so you kind of get that, and then you get like almost the outbox kind of DMs.
Yeah.
And I was seeing a few messages going, you're doing Strictly, and I kept thinking, why is everyone saying that? Obviously, it's Bobby Brazier, it ain't Bobby Norris.
That's
but I was thinking, why is everyone thinking I'm doing Strictly? So it must have obviously, I'm guessing, been released in the last 24 hours that Bobby's doing it.
It was this morning.
But what? Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That's why the
DMs
are
popping. There aren't
that
many famous Bobbies.
No, they won't. Me and Mr. Brazier, I think.
Yeah, fair.
So easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Good name, Bob's good name. Let's talk lineup though. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think obviously you've got Angela Rippon, the oldest contestant, but there's quite a lot of young people in this series, I think. From Zara to Bobby and Adam and Leighton. I think it's gonna be quite good.
So it was the first time we've had a Love Islander do it, haven't we?
Yeah, I did notice on the press release they were like, she works for the Department for the Environment or something, or like previously to Love Island, she worked for the government. So they're probably not too keen on making a big deal.
Yeah.
Out of the fact, it's unavoidable. That's where everyone knows it from. Yeah. But I remember they did the same with Mark Wright. They were like, he's a radio presenter. Yeah. You know, obviously everyone knows, but I think they want to try and maintain.
Yeah, word on the curb is that I think they don't like to look like they take reality stars.
Yeah.
Which, no tea, no shade. I mean,
I think we're probably a bit over that now, aren't we, really?
Considering, like you say, like, obviously Mark has gone on to have a successful career, but a lot of people will know his roots started with Towie.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, Bob.
Yeah, don't know if you've heard of it.
Barely.
And and the same with Zara. But
What do you think? What do you think? Good one?
I think a really good one. And again, I think this is like the third year that we sit and discuss it. And I think every year, and again, I always say this, but every year it just gets better and better. And I think the show's evolved so much. I remember the very early days of Strictly, when it used to go head-to-head with X Factor. Yeah. And I'll be honest, back in the day, I was more X Factor than Strictly. Mm-hmm. But the show isn't, it's just become its own thing, and it's a huge show. And the lineup just gets better and better. And I think the BBC have become so good. I love the diversity that they're bringing out. And the last few years alone, I'd say, the last three or four, we're seeing so many firsts, which is so important. It's such a huge, obviously, channel, BBC, seen by millions. And it gets conversation started. And it's one of them shows that I think whether you're 9 or 99, that you can sit and watch it with the whole family.
Yeah,
and there aren't many shows you can say that about now.
Definitely.
I'm really excited. So
I think you're right. You're spot on with the diversity thing as well. And apparently, I read today, Leighton, who's been in everyone's talking about Jamie and various other theatre shows, and is a very out there character, has said that he'd like to firstly be in a same-sex couple, which they've obviously done previous years now, but would also maybe like to wear dresses and things. So that will be, there will obviously be some people who will be upset about that. I think great. Like, why not? Bring it. People, it's something that happens. People have to.
Yeah. Do you, Bo?
Yeah.
Wear what you want to wear.
Do you
reckon he will be paired with a guy?
Yeah. Well, the piece I read said that they will always want their celebrity contestants to be as comfortable as possible. So if they can, they'll accommodate as much as they can. And I imagine that's what he said. So that's probably what they'll do.
And I love that. And again, we've seen it over on ITV with Dancing on Ice the last couple of years, that we are seeing same-sex couples and pairings put together. Because whenever I've been asked, you know, it's you interviewed me back in the day when I first started Towie, I think 11, 12 years ago. But I've always said, like, when it comes to, especially Dancing on Ice, and I'm going to put it out there, and just, would you do it? And I was like, I would want to dance with a guy. And I've always said this before they'd ever done it.
Mm.
And the reason I wanted to do it, I don't know if this is a cop-out, probably not, because you've still got to point your leg and look smart and have straight lines and that. But I used to always think that I would feel awful if I had to pick up a girl on a Sunday night and I'm doing an headbanger and I drop her, I knock her teeth out, there's claret all over the ice, St. John Ambulance comes running on. I would go home feeling terrible.
Yeah, of course.
So I used to think, put me with a man, let him spin me about. I mean, he's going to have to be a big man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's going to have to be a substantial bloke these days, Bob.
Yeah, so he's got to have some shoulders about him. But I do like, jokes aside, that we are seeing that. Because again, the same with Strictly, the same with Dancing on Ice. We have got their family entertainment shows. And until we start seeing things on our TV showing diversity, how are things going to change and get better?
Yeah. And actually, I think the British public are actually way more sort of liberal and open to things than maybe the press would have us believe. And I think it's all for it.
And I mean, let's have it right. Life's hard sometimes. You know what I mean? We've gone through a global pandemic. We've got cost of living crisis. There's enough on people's plates. Do you really think they're worried about two men slut-dropping together or some geezer picking someone up doing a pirouette on Strictly?
No.
Honestly, I think if you're worried about two men doing the tango together, life ain't too bad for you.
Yeah, that's true. That's your biggest worry. Yeah, that's true.
So, I'm excited to see how that goes. But I think we've had 12 announced, and I think last year we had 15 celebs. So there could still be a few more to trickle in.
I reckon tomorrow we'll probably have the full lineup.
Have you heard any rumours, Mr. Journo?
Well, the only other one that I've heard of, which I reckon is probably a goer is Brenda Edwards. You know, yes. From Loose Women, and also
I could see that
famous West End actress now.
And they do love a loose woman.
They do. They don't often do very well. That's the only. Kay Adams went out first last year, I think.
She gave it a go. Yeah. Hats off to her.
But also, Brenda's got West End experience, so I'm sure she knows how to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, she's got some lungs on her.
Yeah. So that's the only other one I've heard that hasn't been announced yet. But it might not happen. But that's.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd say I've seen her rumoured, and they do always love a loose woman. Mm. So yeah, I think that could. I think she would do very well.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, yeah, it always remains to be seen with Strictly until you see them on that dance floor in that first group dance, and you're like, right, okay, you're getting out first. You might make it to Blackpool. You're in the final.
But I think I'm right in saying that they're actually starting already. So I think like the last week or two, because I bumped into, I won't say which professional, but last week I was out and was speaking to him. And he'd been filming full on, rehearsing full on. So yeah, everyone will very much be kind of, whether that's just the professionals doing their little numbers.
I think it is. They tend to do it from the beginning of August.
Because it's a live, isn't it live when they get paired up together? So I don't know if they actually know their partners yet.
I think the filming of the pairing is done ahead of time. And I think they do some of the group dances ahead of time.
Yeah.
So they will no doubt be in rehearsals for all of that now. So, yeah. So Strictly's begun, is it? This is the slow road to Christmas, basically.
That's when you know it's Christmas. And, guys, we will be talking about this up until the finale. Yeah, until someone lifts that glitter bowl. Because me and Stephen love it. We love a little bit of camp. Let it be said. Anything else caught your eye, Stephen? Have you said? I'm going to touch upon it and then you tell me your thoughts.
Have you seen
the story on Corrie and Strictly Star?
Catherine Tilton.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this?
So, to explain, so she was accused, right, of, I'll read out exactly so I don't get it wrong. Three Little Birds Bakery in West Yorkshire claimed that a PR firm asked if it could make two cakes plus cupcakes for the star for free in exchange for a plug in a magazine. Catherine has gone on to say that the whole affair was bizarre and says she had no ideas the emails had been sent. Now, I actually have personal experience, not with Catherine Tilsley, with a cast member from Geordie Shore.
Okay.
And my auntie, who used to run a florist shop in the northeast, and a PR got in touch with her to say, we need some flowers for this person. She can give you coverage on her social media. She's got X amount of followers, blah, blah, blah. Great. My auntie was like, yeah, sure, that'd be great. Here's the bill. To which she said, oh, no, you misunderstand. We want them for free. Now, like, my auntie's not a rich woman. But she agreed to do it because I guess she thought a little bit of exposure. This star never put it on their social media, which left my auntie out of pocket and also with none of the sort of exposure that she was talking about. Let's be real, it was just a bunch of flowers. So it's not the end of the world. Still,
I know what you mean. It's the principle and the point. If that's the agreement you've come to.
Yeah. Now, that's slightly different from what this story is because PRs ask for stuff for photo shoots, I think, in my experience, fairly often.
A lot, yeah.
And you do get the coverage and the credits in magazines.
Mm-hmm. And to make it clear, Catherine has come out and said she knew nothing about this request. Yeah. She knew nothing about the email.
Yes.
And also in defence, well, not in defence of, but just getting all the facts out there. From what I believe, the PR company didn't state it was Catherine as the client. So, because there's now this email that's been screen grabbed or leaked on social media. And there is no mention of who the celebrity is either. But so they've put two and two together. I think it was around her birthday, obviously. So it probably wouldn't have been the hardest thing to work out.
Didn't need Sherlock Holmes for that one.
No. Right, yeah. Old Angela Lansbury when she's on her story saying it's her birthday. But so I just wanted to put that little bit.
Fair. And I do think this is slightly different because I do think when you're talking in terms of like photo shoots and stuff, quite often, I certainly know when I've done photo shoots with celebrities that side of it has nothing to do with the celebrity. You, what you call in and what you, what you, whether that be set or makeup people or whoever, or catering, really has nothing to do with the celebrity, unless they have a specific request for something, right? So I actually feel bad. This, it feels like this has become a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Without either side truly understanding what was being asked of them. And maybe it's the magazine's fault. I don't know.
Because as well, the thing with it is when it comes to, so there's one thing, obviously, if it's for a photo shoot for a well-known magazine, that there would be the credit in there for that. But I'm not sure in terms of the actual email and the wording, whether they said the celebrity in question would post on their social media. If the PR were going to say that, you would be believing, and you would be right to, I think, believe that the celebs agreed to that, because no PR can just tell the celeb, you've got to thank this person. I mean, obviously it's polite to, but if it's part of the agreement.
Yeah, yeah.
But there has to be that agreement in place. So it's kind of become a little bit of a messy situation. But also, I think everyone's a lot clued up now in terms of social media. A lot of people in the public eye, celebrities and pop stars and sports people, do get things in exchange. They get gifted items, but you have to be very upfront about it now. It's a very big deal. So even if something's given to you for free, you put hashtag gift. If you've been paid, or it's an ad. So you have to be really upfront, and that's where people know where they stand. But in terms of, yeah, it's a tricky one that someone's reached out and it's not for the celeb directly.
I think what probably has gone wrong here is that they've gone to a cake company that doesn't have their own PR representation. So quite often I might have, if, say, for instance, I can't think of an example because I'm not ever sure if I've done it, but what would happen is I would reach out to, say, a PR that I was friendly with, saying, do you have any cake companies, or do you work with Krispy Kreme or something, so that we could have 200 boxes. I mean, obviously nothing like, but like, for in exchange for coverage. Whereas, and the PR firm would understand that, and so would the client. I think in this instance, there is no PR firm in the middle, which maybe has left everyone a bit sort of.
And it's become like a 50 Shades of Grey, and not in a good way. Do you know what I mean? But it is very much, and because some people, maybe that aren't on social media, but let's have it right, the majority of people are, there is a lot to be said. Like, this case aside, I'm just saying in general, in terms of like celebrities being gifted stuff, some people, and because you do see it on social media, they go, oh, they're a celebrity, why would you give them something? What people have to understand is, depends what the thing is they're being gifted, but in general, the cost of the item is far less for the company in question than the promo.
Yeah.
So say, again, stepping back from this, say, like you mentioned, a certain donut company. If someone said, can have a box of donuts, and the donuts cost, what's a tray of donuts? 12 quid.
Yeah. How do we know that?
You could tell me it's even like a glazed ring. So say 12 quid for the tray. If a celebrity puts something out on their story, and let's have it right, as we were saying, people have to be upfront about it. Celebrities do get paid to promote things either on their grid or on their stories. A celebrity's being paid more than 12 quid to do an Instagram story. So to get the tag and to direct your traffic, your fans, your followers, and give that engagement to the brand, it's worth far more than what the flour and the glazing costs the company. So just, it's a funny one. And again, because it's being done by like a third-party PR, Catherine hasn't reached out directly. She must have come out, I'm guessing, so she spoke out about it, saying that she didn't know anything about it in advance, but that, I'm guessing, means she's confirmed it was her they was reaching out for.
Yes, I assume.
We assume. I mean, I'm guessing so, because she's saying, she finds the whole thing bizarre, so I'm not putting words into her mouth. But just a conversation we wouldn't have been having 10 years ago.
No, because who would have been on Instagram back then? Well, they would have been, but you know, would have had 25 followers and who would have given a shit.
Yeah, but you weren't being gifted anything. So it's a funny old one.
Interesting.
And so I'm going to touch upon my Bobby on the Street this week.
Oh yeah, go on, tell me, what was it about?
So I've been out and about beating down the streets of London. Very nice, especially when the older son's out. So this week, I'm not sure if you've seen, I'm guessing you have, Stacey Solomon fans were outraged on her behalf after a rude passenger, in people's opinion, was on a flight. And they were sat behind us. So Stacey sat there, done a selfie with Joe and the boys.
And that doesn't sound like her.
Oh, Stacey's on the gram. She's done a selfie. You know what it's like. Yeah, people like to zoom in and have a little look what's going on. And people had worked out, well, not worked out, it was quite clear, it was in the photo, but there was a bag strap around her headrest.
Right.
So people was outraged on her behalf, saying how rude that they've put their bag on
her
headrest.
The person sitting
behind them. Right. Directly behind Stace has put their bag on. So they're going, well, that'd be uncomfortable, that would hurt my head, blah, blah, blah. So you know me, got the old head thinking, and I thought, what's everyone's biggest pet peeves? Now, before I give you, like, just a little
on a
teaser,
flight or generally?
Well, I'm going with flight, but in general, it can be train, plane, bus. So I've kind of made it tram, Don't have many of them down there, but well, not in London.
You
anyway.
Clearly have been to Croydon, babe.
And they got a tram in Croydon.
Yeah.
No, don't
fascinating, isn't it?
Never been on it. it's on the to-do list. But before I do a little teaser, and guys, again, always say it, go and follow us on Instagram. We've got our own personal Instagram account now. So it's at AAA for Access All Areas FUBAR. So at AAA FUBAR. Every Friday, we drop the full video of Bobby on the street. But you know, I always give you a little teaser because I love you all. So we do that on the main show. But Stephen, before I do a little teaser, what's your pet peeve on planes? You've just come from New York. Anyone get on your tits?
Yeah, I think putting your chair back for a whole flight, unless it's an overnight one, is a no-no. I wouldn't do it. But I seem to always be behind the person that does it.
And would you say anything to the person in front?
No. I'm not very confrontational, so the idea of confronting someone in any situation would be...
Especially on a...
Long-haul flight.
Yeah, and an enclosed place. Yeah, you don't want that. Right, guys, so let's see what London Tan had to say about it.
People putting their feet up on the seats in front.
No personal awareness that their bag is sticking this far out from their shoulder.
Yes. Crying loud babies. That's, really annoying.
When they put the seat back onto you as well.
When you have someone who sits next to you and, keeps trying to chat to you because they don't have anything to do.
It's the crying children, of course.
When you have someone behind you who knocks on your seat.
People in general. I mean, just behave.
I don't know, I'm always steaming on the flight, so I don't really know what happens.
It's children. Children are disgusting.
The biggest thing for me on flights is when they run out of alcohol. They were got enough Prosecco to go round. That really, really annoys me. Because that's what I look forward to.
So as you can see, we had a right mixed bag of answers.
A lot of alcohol-related answers.
A lot of alcohol, a lot of people talking about kids. A couple of people said the same as you, chairs going back. But it's quite an interesting one because everyone seems to have their pet peeve.
Yeah, what's yours?
Oh, that's a tough one. Again, I'm very much with you on, I'm very courteous when I'm on a plane in terms of putting seat back. There's a few things. It depends on the length of the flight as well, to be honest.
If it's a half an hour flight to Paris or whatever.
If it's a quick one, you can suck it up.
Yeah.
Or if you're off to Marbs and it's a couple of hours. But if you're going long, long haul, I just think whether it's plane, train or automobile. Automobile?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I just think there's a certain kindness and just, not even just manners, just
decency.
Human being decency that you have. Personal space is a big one, but I mean, I could absolutely be here all day, but you don't want to know about all my pet peeves.
Not everyone, no, you're all right.
It could be a long, long night. So, guys, we're going to go for a little trail. We're going to be back and we've got Daisy from Below Deck. So we will see you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Or goat gonads, or vagina of cow.
Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just
the social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Politics on Sense.
Accent. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office,
I think. The Dating Show.
Do you remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook? Yeah. And you'd be like, hello, I'm like in a relationship. And what was the other one? It was it's complicated. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed. So you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in the feed, it would be, I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single. So you like that one. Or poke them. Did you poke them? And then you'd give them a little poke.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Give a little virtual poke.
Yeah.
Just to go, I see you're single now, babe.
Yeah.
Facebook were great, wasn't it?
You're listening to Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio.
Foodbar Radio. Radio. Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas live on Foodbar Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
I'm Stephen Lane.
And we are joined by the fabulous Daisy from Below Deck. Daisy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for coming into the studio this evening and joining myself and Stephen.
You've got a gorgeous pair of boots on.
Oh, so. Thank you. And I'm getting lots of compliments. It's yeah, great.
Absolutely loving it. So how have you been? Busy bay.
I have been busy. I'm enjoying the summer, living my best life. You know, it's all go, go, go. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Why so busy right now?
I think it's just the summer. I've just been going on holiday, visiting friends. You know, I've so much planned for the next, basically just holidaying and drinking. Does that make me busy?
Worst ways to be busy. Yeah, I mean, geez.
So I'm going to go straight in there. Obviously, Below Deck, let's talk the show. So what were your highs and lows about filming the past season of the show?
Oh, the past season. It was mainly lows. No. It was, you know, every season has a different challenge. And this season brought on kind of a more personal challenge, like dating someone and meeting someone new on the show and someone who was my friend. And, you know, at the time it was great and I really kind of lent into it. And the show made me look like I was more distracted than I thought I was. Maybe I was distracted, but... having to kind of navigate that and be more vulnerable in a workspace and on TV obviously was a big kind of challenge and I think a low at this stage. I'm never doing that again.
It's one of the funny things with Below Deck because it's not like, like a Big Brother or something, because you do actually have a full-on job to do while you're being filmed.
For sure. And I think as the Chief Shoe, I'm able to kind of navigate away from my personal life and still be able to have enough content. And, you know, I can just be me doing my job. But, you know, after three seasons, obviously people want to see the more, the personal side. Yeah. So that was difficult for me. And that was definitely kind of one of the lows. But one of the highs, I think, was the same thing, just kind of showing a more kind of vulnerable side of myself and leaning into it and, you know, trying to relax into that kind of space. But again, never again. I just closed off again.
So watching it back, it felt more intense than it did at the time. Do you think a lot of that's to do with editing? So from how you remember, because obviously you live, breathe, you work it. That's your life in that bubble. So while you're filming, you're just in it. So when you sit back and you then watch the edited version, do you think it's very true to life? Obviously, they have to cut certain bits, as we know, but... what's the, in terms of reflecting on it?
Yeah, I think it is true to life. But I think, again, you're at the time, it feels more diluted because you're mixing it up with sleep and normal conversations and normal work day to day. But when it's edited to a point where you're just focusing on those moments, you're like, oh, wow, actually what we went through was quite intense. But at the time, it just feels diluted. So I think it's true to the edit it's given. But yeah, just obviously that's not all we talk about. We talk about boring things like our sisters and brothers and, you know, our cats and dogs. So
the camera's there all the time, though.
All the time. Right. I am not kidding. There is no escape from those cameras. Yeah, it's intense.
So that is quite intense, especially if you're at sea.
Yeah. it's truly all, no escape. It's all very full on. Yeah.
And especially when you aren't getting on with someone. Because you can't go home. You can't even just go for a walk because you're in the middle of...
But that's it. Like, I think at one stage my mum called me and I was, you know, pretty upset. And she's like, look, you just need to go for a walk. And I'm like, I can't. She's like, oh, I don't really know what to tell you. So
you've shared that yourself and Colin aren't in touch anymore after your breakup. Can you see you repairing your relationship or a friendship at least off the back of it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what will happen. I'm good friends with all of my exes, so I would like to think that we'd find a time and a place that we could be friends again and look past all of that. At the moment, no, I think things are still a bit raw and a bit fresh, and we just need time apart and figure out our own lives. But I'm never one to hold a grudge and, you know, kind of keep negative feelings for people. So yeah, maybe one day we'll be able to be friends.
At best, would it only ever be friends? Is there ever potential for it to be a relationship?
I don't think so. I think he's with someone else. He's happy.
That don't mean anything there, guys.
I think the reunion kind of set the tone for our future.
Are you, like, obviously you said there was a lot of lows this series. Are you happy to carry on doing the show? How are you feeling about it, like, going forward?
No, definitely. I think, you know, it doesn't make you strong walking away from stuff that makes you challenged. And I don't mind it. It was lows, but, you know, you can't have the highs without the lows. And, yeah, I would definitely come back and do it again and learn from it. And none of it was bad enough that I would walk away from it. It was just... all in very interesting feelings.
Right, yeah. So, Daisy Babes, I wanted to ask you, so it's not about your franchise of the show, but I wanted to get your reaction on reports that, obviously, Below Deck, that the Down Under version, we've seen Luca and Laura have been fired for reports of sexual misconduct. What's your thoughts on that? And have you ever witnessed on your version of the franchise anything similar or untoward like that?
Honestly, I haven't watched it. I've seen snippets on social media. I feel very sorry for all the parties involved, you know, right from production, right down to all the cast members. It all sounds very intense. You know, I've yet to witness it and watch it. But it sounds like it all kind of got handled in the best way possible. I fortunately haven't seen anything like that personally. I've heard of it. I think it happens in all workspaces. And it's just something that, you know, we need to kind of keep being educated and aware of. And it's a very uncomfortable situation for everyone, but it's something that happens. And yeah, we need to be kind of vocal and, yeah, understanding about it.
Because I've seen some people on social, I mean, that's the beauty of social, it gives everyone an opinion.
That's also the nightmare, babe. Yeah.
And that's also the nightmare, it's a double-edged sword. And there's been a lot of people saying, or a fair amount of people going, the show should never have aired that. Whereas I actually think for production to make that decision to show it and show how it was handled and how it was dealt with, I actually think that then starts a conversation and gets people talking. So I'm not mad at the production for showing that. I mean, I know you've not seen it, but you've seen clips and obviously you've read what's happened. Do you think it's right the production decided to show what actually happened?
You know, from what I can see, I don't work in production. I don't actually work in TV. But from what I understanding of Below Deck, their job is to tell a story. And they're there not to manipulate the story or to, you know, edit in their own version. And sometimes, you know, people come back with editing. But really, from my experience, they're there to tell a story. And if that's the story that was there, that's the story they told. And in regards to making things aware, I agree with you. I think we shouldn't shy away from these things. It you know, public awareness and public opinion is an important thing. And at the end of the day, everyone was safe. And that's all that really matters. And I don't think the discussion's a bad one to have.
Yeah.
Back to like what you've been doing, though. Like, what's some of like the wildest things that you've been asked to sort of do? Not maybe as part of the show, but just working in that sort of...
It's always a weird question for me because I always think now everything's just normal. I'm just like, you want me to find you some random table at Nikki Beach in Saint-Tropez at Friday at 9 p.m. I'm like, sure, I can do that. Okay, let me go call up my random contacts. Nothing kind of... I've been really lucky. Like, I hear of, like, you know, stories of, like, I don't know, cocaine and prostitution and find me a miniature pig. I haven't had any of this. I've found very...
Of all of those, the miniature pig would probably be the hardest one to find.
Oh, definitely. Find a miniature pig that does cocaine on top of a prostitute. No, I've been very lucky. I haven't had anything absolutely wild.
Really?
No, I tend to work for really nice people. I stay in a safe place. So yeah, nothing crazy.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Where have you been your favourite places to go?
Oh, I've been lucky enough to go to French Polynesia twice.
Wow.
Yeah, I've done the Pacific Crossing like 3 times. That was amazing.
How long does that take?
From Antigua, it took about 3 weeks.
Wow.
That was long. I've been... Indonesia was incredible, absolutely amazing. Like Raja Ampat, and we did a season in Thailand, which was incredible. Wow. I've done Alaska, which is also up there. Hawaii. I've been even the Balearics, or not the Balearics, the Baltic. Sorry, like Sweden and Norway and all these things. Yeah, I've been very lucky, and I think French Polynesia is up there with my favorite.
Well, so few people get to go somewhere like that in their whole lives, as much as they might want to, because it's so distant, right? Like...
Absolutely, and it's expensive, and especially being on a boat. You know, it's near enough people in LA and stuff. It's like a 5-hour flight, but for us, it's the other side of the world, and. Mm. Yeah, to do it on a boat is a whole nother experience. So I've been very lucky to get to do that twice.
Jealous.
Now.
Babe, let's talk WhatsApp. Group chats. Is there a group chat firstly?
Oh, for who? With who? Oh,
tell me.
Like a below deck one, you mean? Yeah, like a cast one.
Yeah, this is actually quite funny. We have a below deck one every year. And as soon as we stop filming, no one writes in it again.
Do people leave or it just goes dead?
It just goes dead.
Yep.
I don't think anyone has the balls to leave it, but no one also wants to write in it. So.
It's quite a statement. When you say Hannah's left,
yeah.
You kind of think, fucking shady Hannah, what's wrong?
Especially if that means they're probably not coming back next season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's got at this stage, you know, I've done 3, and it is a bit awkward because we do these group chats and I'm like, no one's ever coming back to this group chat. And I'm the only one who knows. I'm like, oh, look at them, so naive and excited.
So from WhatsApp to DMs, what are the DMs saying? I'm always intrigued. You know what it's like when people are on telly, people slide into DMs. I'm sure you've had a few people pop up. What are yours saying?
You know what? They go through phases. So like I'll go through a hot phase. So like all the creeps will come out and be like, "Ooh, you're so hot," and all this. And then I'll go through like an emotional phase, and then all the women will come and like back me up. And so I kind of know what by the content I'm putting up,
what it's bringing.
Yeah. Which is always quite interesting. But yeah, the majority of it's just really nice people kind of who are find me relatable for some weird reason.
And what about any blue tick dick? There, you ever been sent a naughty photo from anyone, whether it's blue tick or not?
I've been sent a few dick pics, not blue tick ones though. I would have been okay with that. Instead of some dodgy guy in the underground sending me. Only one or two though, and luckily. I haven't been bombarded.
Have you had any like celeb fans though, like get in touch?
I've had a few big kind of female people in the UK and Ireland and the States. Only like 3 or 4, but pretty big people. So that was quite exciting, and just fans of the show.
Oh, nice.
Because the show, Netflix is such a platform, isn't it? Like accessible worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's... Oh, my one, it currently isn't on Netflix, but we just went out in E4, which, you know, kind of really made the show really pop up in the UK. The first one of Below Deck Sailing is on Netflix. Hey You's obviously become really big. And yeah, you can see the difference. And yeah, I've had random people, you know, celebrities just being like, "I love you on the show." And I'm like, "Wow, this is kind of surreal." I'm like, "This is weird." But yeah, it's gotten really popular, which is great.
How many franchises of it are there now?
So we had, I think there's 5, but I think Adventure is not getting renewed. So there's Down Under, Original, Med and Sailing.
I mean, that is a lot, isn't it? For like one, you don't really often hear of that, but it shows, you know, the popularity. And I definitely think like it's way more visible than it was even just a few years ago.
Well, people, I think it blew up in lockdown.
It was during lockdown.
Lockdown made it.
Well, people were like scouring, you know, the internet to
find
stuff.
To watch.
Yeah. And then they kind of come across Below Deck, and then they're like, "Where do we get more?" It's like addictive. They're like, "We need more." And then they kind of discovered Hey You. And yeah, it worked out really well for me because I kind of did it during lockdown, so it all worked out. And
it was like escapism when everyone was fucking sick of banana bread, and do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Do you know what I mean? So, and binging, you know what I mean? I was 6 hours into Four in a Bed once, you know that show on Channel 4? And I was getting so invested in these B&Bs, and I was like, that cheeky cash is checking for dust behind the headboard. That's where life was for me. I mean, I went on the front line, thankfully. There was people actually doing real jobs at the time. But I think we all wanted escapism, so Below Deck, and then we had the Selling Sunset.
Yeah, Selling Sunset.
So just to see things where we felt like we was actually allowed out the house when Boris said we could only go out for an hour a day. Do you remember? So to look at sea and to look at LA was goals.
It's so true.
So I think it was at the making of the show, really. Yeah. Yeah. Blowing up. I'm so happy for you, babes. Oh, what a lovely, lovely girl. Thank you so much for coming in this evening.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So that was the lovely Daisy, guys. We're going to go to a little quick trail and then we'll be back with Robbie from Made in Chelsea. See you in two.
FUBAR Radio presents Access All Areas.
There was an interesting no-show, I thought, in Harry Styles. Apparently he didn't come because both Olivia Wilde, his ex-girlfriend, and Emily Emrata was there too, and he was pictured kissing her recently in Japan.
Lucky cow.
Apparently he avoided because best not to be around two women you've recently been with, I guess, if you're Harry Styles.
See, if I'd have been there, I'd have said to both of them, piss off. Harry, let's go and have a gin and tonic.
So joining us now, we have Count Binface, an independent space warrior. I just wanted to quickly ask you one last question. Let's say you had won that election and you became prime minister. You know, what are some of the big things you'd like to change? What are some of the big things you believe in that our politics needs?
Well, why don't we talk about the old royal family? Because, you know, I don't wish to abolish them like some people do. No, 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 no. I merely wish to solidify their ceremonial role so that they become the living, breathing version of Madame Tussauds that deep down the public wants. The Dating
Show. Again, I've been out on dates where people have gone, oh, like, what do you do? Why do they want pictures? And then I'll just go, oh, listen, I'll do little bits on TV, that's it. And then 2 hours later, when they've had a few drinks, they start going, so tell me what happened with this girl. What happened with this? What happened with that? And I thought you didn't know.
Well, this is why I think I struggle with my date life, because I just see myself as me. You know, I'm from Oxford, moved to London. That's it. I have a great group of friends. That's as simple as my life is. When I go to date someone, I don't see myself as, oh, I'm a girl that works on TV. I just see myself as me. But then I'm reminded by some of the things that they might do.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Area, guys, live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
Stephen Lang.
And we are joined by the lovely Robbie from Made in Chelsea. Robbie, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm excited.
Thanks
this
for coming in.
This has been planned for ages. I'm finally here.
Oh, good. We're so
we've
glad
made
to have
it
you.
Happen. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. Wasn't too far for you, was it?
Wasn't too far. Perfect. I find myself in the east of London now. It's much better. I prefer it that way.
How are you finding the east?
It's trendier. It's better for people my age. Yeah. There's actually people my age as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you can probably get a pint for under a tenner or something.
Ideal. You know? £9.99.
Yeah. So, let's talk Made in Chelsea. Obviously, we have to. So, a trailer dropped a few days ago on the official Instagram account and was pulled down so quick. The speculation is there was a few bad comments towards one or two of the girls on the show.
Okay.
Why has it been pulled down? Do you know why they literally deleted it within minutes?
Bobby, I don't know what you're talking about. What trailer?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I wish I was in the loop. Oh, sorry, darling.
It was all right, darling. I thought I'd ask. I thought I'd be cheeky.
No, that's a good question, though.
Thank
I actually
you.
The answer.
Do you generally know the trailer I'm on about, though?
No. Unfortunately not.
No, no comment. No.
What happened on it? I there? No.
It was all you. It was a minute and a half.
Right. It was literally, I think, you know, just like when you kind of get a series drops, they kind of drop this video, as you do pre-series all the time. what's to come, really. So it was only clips.
Oh.
And I think there was a few bad comments, but again, that's reality TV.
That's made in Chelsea for you, babe.
Don't check the comments, babe. That's yeah, what I
exactly,
say.
Exactly, babes.
If you want to maintain your mental health, at least.
Yes, I agree.
Don't look.
So from the clip that no longer now exists on socials, I mean, you've lived and breathed it. It was an away trip, wasn't it? How was it for you? Because you wasn't directly involved in the drums, were you?
Again, we are not on Made in Chelsea. We're on Queer in Chelsea. It's a completely different show. Joel and I are not on the main show. I don't know what that is. I'm not involved. I haven't been for a long time. But in terms of what we went through, what I can tell you is that we explored consensual non-monogamy, which is a very frighteningly large term. But it just
it's a very hot topic. I think a lot of people are discussing it.
It's Gen Z, baby. It's Gen Z, yeah. You know? And opening the relationship and sort of what the implications are there for Joel and I, all the emotions involved. You know, it was tough.
And did you do this in Corsica?
We did.
At least you were surrounded by some, you know, pretty restaurants.
Got to do it in the right place.
Some nice beaches, you know?
Why not?
Did that help, though, like being away and talking
about
these things?
You know what? You always become your best self when you're on holiday, don't you?
Right, yeah.
The moment the sun's there and you're just like, yeah. So that was the ideal environment for sure, yeah.
Do you always, because I mean, I remember looking back on the decade, obviously, I did Towie, I always know that our abroad trips, when we was away, I mean, generally, it's always more drama when you're away. Shit always goes down when you're away. But it's always harder because you don't get to go home. So
yeah, that support network or whatever.
Yeah, even though if it's going home for a night, just going back and closing your own front door and binging St. Contelio, ordering a takeaway, because you're living and breathing in a villa or a hotel, it just amplifies everything. Do you think, especially when it's a tricky series anyway and there's a lot of drama going on, do you think when that kicks off and you are away, it does heighten everything?
Oh, massively. Massively. Being away, it really does heighten it. Because as you say, you can't go home and binge Netflix when something goes wrong. You know, you're always in and amongst it. But at the same time, I think the flip side is that you actually develop a lot closer friendships with cast that you might otherwise not see from the day to day.
Yep.
You know, London's a big place, but when you're all together in one villa, you really get to know each other. So my opinion on people completely 180'd. You know,
really?
Yeah. I got closer to everyone, I think.
That's interesting.
Everyone in my villa. Yeah, I love them all.
So wait, so this Queer in Chelsea isn't actually true?
No.
You're friends with everyone now.
We are, yeah, we are. But that's the problem. We're only friends with them, so we're not fighting.
Yeah, that's true.
So because you're friends with everyone, when there is such an explosive series going on and everyone's at each other's throats, do you feel like when it comes to loyalty, inclined to take sides, or do you feel people want to? Because people get halfway into a series, don't they? And they're like, no, that's my ally, I'm having him. Or like, there's almost like this fight.
Sounds like this is something you know, Bobby. Yeah.
I know a little bit. So you might not be directly involved, but people then start grabbing for people that aren't involved to kind of back them or to be loyal to them. But then it becomes hard because no one's done you bad.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think when Joel and I, we're not orthodox reality TV. You know, we I think we try to see the best in everyone, which doesn't make good TV. It doesn't. You know, we're trying to look out for everyone and make sure everyone's okay. When you're going through an especially hard patch in your relationship, more often than not, you are in an emotionally conflicted space and you need support. The last thing you need is to be gunned out.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Joel and I, we really were that safe space for when people were down, to sort of bring them back up.
That's quite a nice place to be, especially because quite often the gays are involved in the drama. So, you know, you have your own drama going on, right, between the two of you. But, you know, you can be the agony aunt as well.
The agony aunt, there's always a place for her. Here we are.
How did you mentioned the consensual non-monogamy. How did that conversation come up? Like,
well, we were in Corsica and someone had joined the cast that we thought was attractive. So we were like, hello.
I see. Yeah. So you're talking more together.
You have to watch and see.
Oh, you give it as exclusive. Has there been a phrase made in Chelsea?
I wouldn't use that term. I think the more appropriate one is CNM, consensual non-monogamy. But
That sounds nicer than threesome.
It does. I think it's a bit more professional.
Yeah.
Depends on what you're doing.
But yeah, we opened the relationship, and I think it's a topic that deserves normalizing on television. I think we don't see enough of it, and it is happening, and there is an enormous taboo and stigma around it.
That is so true, and I really think that it's something that so many of my gay friends who are in long-term relationships do. Mm-hmm. Those straight people are just completely unaware
no.
of. They've got no idea.
And they can barely compute it.
Yeah, they don't understand.
It's so outside the framework of, you know, monogamous life that is heteronormative. I'm using these big queer terms. You can tell I read the literature when I was going through it. I was
what dictionary have you been ingesting?
It was a book called Polysecure, and we were reading through it. But I think what was really interesting as well, for my relationship at least, when you open it up, I think what's so surprising is it kind of rips the rug out from underneath you. And what I mean by that is the security that you otherwise derive from knowing that is your only partner and they're not going to cheat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily disappear, so to speak, but they could be fostering feelings for someone else in that moment that you've consensually invited in, you know? So where's the security then in the relationship? Mm-hmm. If it's not that, then what? And so then I really had to like look at, how does Joel know that I love him? How do I know that I speak his love languages? And I realized I didn't.
Right.
I realized I didn't. So, like, I felt so secure in that moment, but my boyfriend didn't necessarily. So there was that emotional journey that we went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting and probably something that isn't often done on sort of reality shows.
So when you sit down and you have this kind of conversation, because, again, different horses for different courses, and there's going to be...
Different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely. So
I was going to go on there, but I'll stop.
Keep rhyming.
So again, there is no one box fits all. Mm. But for you guys, have you sat down? Steve, look at it. He's like the naughty boy in the back of the classroom, and I know exactly what he's thinking. I've dug myself into a hole here. So have you decided between you what's going to work for you? Like, is there an agreement? So you kind of, you have this conversation, you go, right, we only play together, or we have kind of, we've both got free reign to play a part as long as we're honest about it.
Oh, Bobby, you're so, so good with the questions. Layers. That would
Thank
spoil
you,
a
Bob.
Little bit too
no,
much.
No, it's not. Give an exclusive to Bobby. Come on.
I think what is fair to say is it would be so hard to hammer out an agreement from the outset. You know, your boundaries naturally change as of when something arises and you have a feeling and you go, hang on, I didn't quite like that.
Yep.
So I'd like to adjust that boundary.
Yeah.
So it's a constant negotiation, you know.
Relationships
are.
Yeah, exactly that.
Relationships are.
A lot of people don't confront those sexual-based questions because they're a lot, right? That's a lot. It's a lot. And you can end up breaking up over it.
Yeah.
But I think they are important to have. And I think gay people are having them more and more.
Yeah, and we're getting really good at communication. Oh, we're the best. We know how to communicate.
And that's how it should be. So I think it's great that you're sort of you're like creating a pathway for people to see more of this sort of thing on TV.
Well, for sure. I mean, I never saw it on TV.
I don't think.
And I think Bobby and it would have been way too taboo back then to have shot it like that. You know. Even 10 years ago, to have featured something like this.
I think it's probably right.
So, yeah, because I left Towerway, I think, about a year and a half ago, but I did 10 years on there. But again, I think, like you say, even 18 months, 2 years ago, it probably wouldn't have even been a conversation people was having. But that kind of shows you where we're at.
The pace.
Where we're at. And I think as long as people are having these conversations, and they're important conversations for people to be having, because life's forever evolving. Mm. People are always, do you know what I mean? And actually... Yeah. The minute we don't talk about anything, that's kind of where that's not a good thing.
Yeah, so, problems.
Yeah, so we need diversity. We need people to live their authentic selves, and whether that's on a TV show or not, and get people talking. Because, like you say, Stephen, you've got friends that are in this situation. This happens out there, so it shouldn't be seen as a shady secret.
No.
Was it scary to discuss knowing that it was going to be on television?
Well,
I guess as an
entrance. I think everything I've done made in Chelsea is scary. It's all vulnerable. It's all putting my heart on a sleeve, you know. And it addressed topics that haven't necessarily been explored before. Mm. You know, coming out has certainly. But we were the first to speak about
it. You really went full throttle.
I went, once that started, once the ball got rolling and I started addressing all of my shames, I was like, let's just put it all on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, balls on the table, Rob.
Why not?
Yeah,
balls too.
Why not? You know, and I think a lot of people would say, you know, that is inherently risky. Being, you know, I'm going into a legal profession. Mm. That's very conservative, so to speak. But now it's more progressive than ever. I think diversity and inclusion is at the forefront because we know that diverse workplaces lead to diverse perspectives. And when you have many perspectives, you can see a problem from all angles. So like a
especially
business
in
is
legal, legal things know? As well. Yeah, definitely.
So you've touched upon them. Obviously, you studied, you're going into, you want to be a solicitor, is that
I graduated.
Right? Congratulations. Oh, well
I got a first.
Wow.
Well done.
I know.
Amazing.
Not too bad.
Me too. I love that he's laughing. Oh, I did, Robbie, I did.
Come on. In what?
Kardashians.
Human relations.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. But jokes, do you think actually, well, you're living proof that it can happen, but will a time come now that you've graduated, you want to go into such a serious profession, do you think you can do both? Can you have a presence
well,
on
I'm
reality
living proof
TV?
Of it. It can be done.
It can be done, babe.
It can be done. And I think we are increasingly less prejudiced as a society. What you do in your free time with your partner consensually is up to you.
Mm.
Okay, and if I happen to have done that on television to make sure that that was normalised for thousands of gay people out there so that they can see that if we can do it, they can too.
Mm.
There's no reason you would be prejudiced against that.
Oh, no, sorry, I mean more in general just being on a reality TV show because, I mean, you know, like Kim K talking to the Kardashians.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
She started getting slaughtered when people started saying, oh, what, you want to be a lawyer now, but you're a reality star. People saying you can't do both. Mm. Like you post photos on Instagram in your bikini, but you want to defend people and go to the White House. So I'm talking more just career-wise, whereas I think, do you know what I mean?
Why is it mutually exclusive? Mm. Tell me.
Well, I guess it's just because it hasn't happened before. This is the first time that we're living where so many people can now be on TV.
Wait, so Bobby, you mean to tell me that it's just me and Kim K doing this?
It's just
hang on a sec. That's quite an exclusive category. I'm quite happy with that. Cheers, Bob.
Amen, babes. Amen.
To be fair, when I'm thinking about it, I can't think of anyone else that's done. Yeah.
Great.
Give her a call.
I will. Text her, actually. I've got
But I just don't think we should be in a world where we're generalising what people can and can't do because they've either got an online presence, whether they're an influencer.
Well, they do OnlyFans and things like that.
Can I just say, I think shooting reality, it is one of the hardest jobs. And I make that take seriously. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think shooting reality television can take such an emotional, mental and physical toll. Can you imagine having a barrage of hate coming your way on an almost weekly basis or daily?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of person what kind of person you have to be to withstand that pressure and to continue to be your authentic self despite everybody hating on it?
You have to have the thickest skin, don't you? Which so many people don't. I think that's why so many people bow out quite quick. I think people like
it's a very tough industry.
Yeah,
it's completely. A very tough industry.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you've got no script to hide behind. And like, when being yourself, although you've only been, you know, all your reality, what are you famous for? You go to work and you're you. It takes a very particular kind of person to go, this is everything, warts and all. Judge me. Because you're literally holding a mirror up to yourself and you're making yourself the most vulnerable anyone ever can. And saying to millions of people, What do you think about that?
The type of person, it's a brave person. I really have so much respect for people that do reality television. You have to be brave to do it.
Yeah.
So do you think
you'll stay in it for the foreseeable?
It's hard to say. I think obviously the time constraints in the legal profession are there. Would I be able to shoot TV and do law? I don't know. It's hard to say.
So you do want to go into law full time then?
It is my original dream. Mm. Reality TV just happened to find me along the way.
Mm. And I guess you studied to do law. You don't fall upon that. That's not like a 6-week course online,
no,
is it?
It's not.
Quite an intense. He ain't got a BTEC in law.
Knows the grind, unfortunately.
Yeah, anyone I know that works in law works incredibly hard.
Yeah.
They also earn good money, so, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So,
that helps.
Absolutely. But well, thank you so much for coming in, Robbie.
It's lovely to see you
and to have a lovely little chat.
Yeah, really interesting.
I like the studio. I like what you got.
Nice,
it's great.
Thank you, babe.
Good little space.
It's like our little purple lighting. We decided on that, didn't we, Stephen?
Yeah, we did.
We decorated the place. So, last question before I let you go, babes. I know you're only local, so I'm going to keep you for one more minute.
Do. Please keep me forever.
Will we see you coming back next series? Have you committed to that yet? I mean, I know you've only just wrapped this one.
You'll see me. I'll be there.
You'll be back.
Okay. I'll be there.
And when will you start shooting that? Obviously, not exact dates. But
I think we're in the middle of shooting it.
So you've always won ahead?
We might be, I can't say.
Exciting.
Basically, we're going to see him.
Yeah.
We're going to see him.
We've got to be seeing
him. I can tell you I'll be there.
Okay, great. Fab.
Oh, well, babes, I can't wait for it. Thank you so much, Robbie. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Stephen. Nice to see you again.
Nice
he's
to be
just back.
Back
from New York. He's been living his best life.
Oh, right.
Nice.
With the guys in New York.
Yeah, a couple of guys. I had a New York boyfriend. I'll tell you about that.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's the New York scene like?
Not as good as London.
Oh.
But still fun.
Okay.
It's still fun.
All right, then.
I'm going to ask you, we were on air anyway. She said you had a New York boyfriend.
We've got 30 seconds, Bob.
30 seconds. Did you go on that first date you was going to go on? Is that your New York boyfriend?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good.
Oh, I'm going to get all the tea off air, guys. I bet you're going to be so gutted you missed that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, guys. You know we love you. And as I said earlier at the top of the show, please go and follow us. Our brand new Instagram account is at AAA Foobar Access All Areas. So that is at AAA Foobar. You've had a little teaser of Bobby on the street, but you'll be getting the full episode on Friday afternoon. So go give us a follow. And until next week, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.